And I'm Lindsay.
We're college friends who've recently reconnected and realized that we have a ton of things in common.
We love to challenge ourselves to be the best we can be.
I'm the girl who says whatever I'm thinking, unapologetically myself, all the time.
And I'm a lot more reserved, but we get authentic and vulnerable during these powerful conversations.
The goal of this podcast is that you will laugh, cry, and realize that you're not alone in your struggles or your dreams.
We hope these conversations will challenge you to live a braver, more authentic life. Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. I'm Lindsay and Jody's here. We're going to be talking today about protecting your peace. And we were supposed to record yesterday and we had no peace about it. So here we are, two very stressed out individuals talking about peace. Jody, how are you today and how's your peace?
It's so funny. And I think of like the word happiness versus the word joy, right? So like, I almost need two words for peace, kind of, because happiness is like, I'm happy. I bought a coffee. I, you know, like kissed my kid's face, but like I have a deep joy inside because of my purpose, because of my alignment with what I'm doing, because like there's, right? Like there's depth to joy, and happiness is like momentary, but I would say I have like mediocre internal peace and then outside of me just chaos. So yeah, it's like
on the verge of a breakdown basically.
No, I'm not. I'm bet 2 days ago, yes, but today I feel better, but I'm proud of us. And I was thrilled that you put up a story on Instagram to just say, hey guys, we need to practice what we preach, right?
Yeah.
Take a moment. Like, and so, kind of like checking in. I mean, it's January 18th today. Where are you at? How are you doing?
I feel like this year started for me at breakneck speed. Like, and the goals and things that I wanted to implement into my life have given me more peace than I would have without, but sometimes it does feel like too much. Like waking up a little bit earlier and spending some time, you know, thinking about my day. My kids wake up and they're so loud. So like, I realize I need some quiet time in the morning, to meditate and pray and, you know, just think about my day. And so, it's just been chaos. It's been like getting back into the swing of things, getting back into school. I'm a wedding planner. And although almost nobody gets married in January, this is when we plan everything. Like everyone's like, okay, in January, I'm ready to sign all my contracts and do all my things. And it's like, oh gosh, I'm drowning. So thank you for the flexibility in our schedule yesterday and just deciding like I could have recorded and I'm glad that we didn't.
I think it's like that. It's that whole mindset, like learning to practice creating stillness, learning to practice peaceful living, learning to practice pivoting or renegotiating commitments. Has there been anything since that you kind of had as a goal that you're like, I'm going to drop that? Has there been anything that you've kind of dropped?
Not yet, but I I know that the speed of life that I'm keeping right now is not sustainable. So I know that, you know, just with work and school, with, you know, the kids' school, they're busy and I'm busy, and it's, you know, I'm like buying pre-made meals from my friend Joelle. Shout out to Joelle. And just kind of cutting out things where I can, but like, so far I haven't dropped anything, but it's probably going to have to happen at some point.
Yeah. I dropped, reading the Bible chronologically.
Okay.
Didn't take long. I did get to like January 17th and I literally didn't drop it because I didn't like it. I dropped it because I picked up a book called Facing Your Giants by Max Lucado. And it applies to like everybody basically, but I picked it because of parenting a preteen. And I just feel like I have a lot of fear, and none of us are meant to live in fear. Like even 365 times in the Bible, it says, don't be afraid, pray about everything. Right. And so my mother-in-law gave me this book, and I picked it up and was like, this book's phenomenal. I might read it 3 times. So I like read a chapter, then I do the back work, and it's reading about like David and Goliath, where's Goliath in your life? Right? Is it your child? Is it your marriage? Is it whatever? And so that's what I renegotiated. But like we've said, it's a sober commitment. So if I make this sober commitment, I've like talked through it with myself. I've renegotiated, and that's a coaching process. It's like, take a moment, and to anyone listening, take a moment right now, look at the goals and the things and objectives you have for this year and reevaluate. And that's where it's like, we should have a quarterly check-in on our 2023 outcomes, right? What do you want to have for outcomes this year? And then checking in. Okay. You know what? This one isn't aligning with me. This is going to be far better for me digging in to David and Goliath or whatever it is. Right. But we were going to say, Matt, like something that came up, you and I were chatting about yesterday was, how are we now? So now we're in the throes, we're in the chaos of January. We're feeling it, right? Yeah. How are we managing with our goals and outcomes amidst that reality in week 3? And something I was going to say is, we're doing Gina Livy, also both of us. And the other day, like my weight is up and I know it's out of stress. And that's a cool thing you learn on Gina's program is you learn that the scale is a tool for your body. And it's a great indicator of what's going on. Haven't slept, haven't had enough water, cried before bed, like all of these things impact because you are one whole person, right? And so what I focused on was, what are all of my grounding practices? So like Sunday was a super busy day. I had a 10-year-old's birthday, but I got up, I spent time in prayer, in my Bible, went for a walk outside because fresh air is super vital for me, and got some fresh air, came home, got ready. And that, like those two practices right there, totally grounded for the day. You're starting on from a way healthier base point, right? So something we wanted to talk about was, in times of stress, you can start feeling like a martyr, like, woe is me. Sometimes people waste a lot of energy sitting there. Like, how is this happening? But take like a second and sit there. But then what do you need to do to keep yourself mentally strong and healthy? And usually it's those practices, because we know we only grow through adversity. So we don't want to miss out, right? Like if we're in this chaos, we want to build resilience. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm like, did you just throw up in your mouth with all that positivity, or that resonate? Like, what does that mean to you?
Yeah, I think so. Something that I've been thinking about a lot over the last couple of months is how struggle makes us stronger. It draws us closer to God. It gives us opportunity to connect with other people. Yet we all avoid struggle at all costs.
Totally.
And think about the most interesting people in your life. Like you're not thinking of someone who just has a very like average, you know, works 9 to 5 at a very easy job and, you know, watches 4 hours of TV every night. Like that's not very inspiring. But when you see people overcome grief or physical limitations, like those are the stories that we love. And so as much as I hate struggle and stress, it's just a part of life. And I think an opportunity for us to grow. So
I think so too. Something that came up to me yesterday. So today we're talking all about protecting your peace, being cautious about what you let into your mind, into your home. But I got thinking yesterday. So I had become a little angsty with a stressful, busy weekend. And you know, when you walk into a room and you can tell it's angsty, like you feel it. Do you agree? You feel that? I feel like some people are like oblivious, but whatever. Not most people, I feel like, feel that. And so if you'd walked in Sunday night, I feel like that's what my home might have felt like. People might have felt my angst. And so I was thinking yesterday while the kids were, you know, they were getting ready to come home from school. And all of a sudden I thought, like, what would I want to come home to? What does a peaceful home feel like? And are there any tangibles to that? Because obviously, if I'm just a super aggressive or angry person, or I'm in a phase where I haven't worked through my crap that I need to work through, I haven't done my grounding, I haven't done whatever, none of these tangibles are going to work at all if I haven't done the internal work, because you can't fake peace. It's very obvious. Yeah. And so what I got thinking yesterday was, my youngest loves when we meet him on the bike path, like as if we're walking to pick him up, basically. I never make it all the way to the school, which I also don't want to see every person, right? So I kind of like to go halfway, but he lights up like a Christmas tree. And I thought, you know, I should walk today and meet him. But then it was like pouring buckets. And my husband's like, I'm going to pick them up, whatever. So then I thought I should throw some peanut butter cookies in the oven. But immediately I'm like, oh, it's Monday. And like, we had a ton of crap on the weekend. Well, then I found a healthy peanut butter cookie recipe, threw in some cookies, and it doesn't have to be fancy. It could be like energy balls. It could be that you just put out crackers and cheese, or like, you know what I mean? It doesn't have to be, it's like thoughtful about what they might want or whatever. And then I lit a candle on the stove, and then I lit a candle in the living room. And then I thought, I cleaned up a little bit of clutter. I just kind of tidied. And I thought, what kind of an environment creates and fosters peace? So like I said, not to be inauthentic, because internal peace comes first, but it was just something I got thinking about. Like, there are tangible ways. Like, if I make my bed and then I walk into my bedroom in the evening, it's a way more inviting space. It's not like messy, and that messiness in our life leads to messiness, a feeling of messiness internally.
Yeah.
And so like, do you have tangibles that you can think of that are ways you can practice fostering a peaceful home?
Yeah. We also, I think everyone in my house, except for my youngest, is a highly sensitive person. Okay. And we're all, I think, sensitive to each other's, you know, moods and energy, and clutter is a big one. And so trying to keep our house, like, people have told us our house feels very peaceful, which I'm like, you know, come over on a school morning at 7 a.m. It's absolute chaos. But I think that like our house has a calming presence, and I've worked really hard to attain that. And so my husband's a musician, and we really love putting on calming music, like, especially when my kids were home during the pandemic. I cannot tell you how many times I asked Google to play calming music or classical music. You know, I'll just like, if it's starting to get crazy, I'll just say, hey, Google, play calming music. Or Alexa, or whoever your robot of choice is. We also like to color. My kids love to color. And so we'll put on some like calming music and throw some paper on the table and some crayons, and like, they focus, and that's kind of how they can ground themselves.
Right.
My husband and I like to take long walks around the neighborhood. Our neighborhood's really hilly, so it's like, it's a pretty aggressive walk, but it's good exercise. And we also, our oldest gets a lot of anxiety, and we sometimes have been sending him across the street to run around the church that's across the street. We'll literally make him run laps. And when he comes down, his energy's a little lower, and he's ready to like focus and listen. So maybe that sounds mean, but we like literally have to send him out to run laps sometimes.
I think that's knowing what someone we started during the pandemic also, where we wanted to create routine, right? Because it was crazy and they were home all the time. And that was like, one of the things they had to do was getting, and like we talked about last week, like disciplines, like getting in the habit of, as a grown-up, you need daily exercise. My kids get exercise constantly because of hockey and skating practice and that sort of thing, right? But on the days you don't, you still are best and wisest to take time outside breathing real fresh air. Something I noticed when I was really struggling with anxiety, I want to say maybe not last winter, but maybe the winter before. Well, no, the last two winters, I have like a PTSD around winter now. And then especially last winter, not being vaccinated, I couldn't go anywhere. And I didn't want people to know, because I didn't tell anybody. So I just was like, home all the time by myself while everybody else was out, and I was lonely. And then I felt isolated because I didn't want to tell them my truth. But I would go and I would do like sprints where it would like kind of like run between, like you do marathon training, run between flag or not flags, light posts or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it helped, it helped my physiological response, or that's, I don't know. That's not, I'm not saying it right. I can't think of the sciencey terms right at this moment, but basically it totally calmed me. It was like I had to get that angst out, and it really helped listening to 90s grunge, as which I don't totally believe. I do think my sister used to say you pile a heap of coals on your head when you put crap in. Like Jonathan wants to start the series called Hitchhiker Yielding an Axe or something. It's like a new thing on Netflix where this someone just kills people with axes. Anyways, I was like, it's still January. We're supposed to be watching romantic comedies. but so basically I would, at bedtime, I would feel too angsty unless I'd done sprints during the day. So I think with your kids, it's like learning, what does your son need? And so I think, yeah, like back in the day, you would have been like, go walk through the fields, feed the cows, do this, do that. Well, they don't have that.
Yeah.
So we have to create some of that that physical exertion for mental health and physical health.
Yeah. So and I think all kids need it, not just my high anxiety preteen boy. Like, we all need that.
I think so too. And I think the sooner we kind of acknowledge it and just start doing it, the better off we feel. I will tell you though, that when I sprint at 40, I'm most likely always tweak a hamstring. I am not built. These hips are not built for sprints. But definitely you could even do it on an elliptical, right? Like getting your chest to that point of aerobic exercise. Or is it anaerobic? Why do I feel like everything is a struggle in my head today?
I think you just mean like getting your heart rate up.
Yes. Very high till it almost explodes.
Okay. But not for long periods of time.
No, for sure. Don't everyone seek the advice of your medical professional.
Please talk to a doctor before your heart explodes. I did this the other day. I went to the gym and did the elliptical, which I never do, but everything was full because it's January and all these people who don't know how to use the gym are in the gym. And I was like, all right, I'll do that. And I did it as fast, like as hard as I could for 10 minutes. Like that was it. And I was like dripping in sweat.
I hate that thing. My feet go numb. Do your feet go numb?
Yeah.
I don't get what that is. So why?
It's like supposed to be running without the impact.
Thanks. I think I need the impact. Yeah. But awesome to get your sweat on. My favorite way to murder myself at the gym is the Stairmaster. You just want to die. And like after
that's what I was going to do, but this guy was like, nobody was near him actually. So there are four stair climbers and he was on one with two empties next to him. And he was just, I mean, nobody was near him and I was not going to be the person to hop on because he was, I can't even explain. He was just like going backwards and like panting and like taking up a lot of room. And it was a lot of, it was just chaos around him. And that's not what I went to the gym for. So that's what
there you are on the elliptical. Oh my gosh. That is too funny. So today we want to talk a little bit about how do you build a healthy mental practice? Mm-hmm. Right. And, by doing, I guess, first what you know grounds you. But for some people, they're like, well, what grounds me? I don't know. What does that even mean? What does it mean to be grounded? And I would say being grounded means like, this is so funny because I'm an Enneagram 7. So for me, grounding is like everything I don't want to do. Like it would be laying on the floor, stretching, listening to a slow talker. You know, we were talking about that guy from Wild at Heart, John Eldridge podcast.
Yeah. And
you said this like in September of 2021, I think you said, he bangs a trash can when he's struggling, when he's getting mad. He goes outside with like a bat and he hits
with a baseball bat and hits his like city appointed trash can.
Which I think is the funniest ever. And if you've ever heard him talk, like I need to increase the speed of his voice like three times to not want to lose my mind. And, but he's such a profound person, John Eldridge. And that's what he does. And which is even funny to hear him explain.
Because it's like a regular practice in his life that grounds him. And you would, I mean, he seems very chill. I can't imagine him swinging a baseball bat at a trash can. So
that's great idea.
I hadn't thought about it being like the opposite of what you think, like the opposite of what you need, because you're a high energy person. So grounding for you is slowing down. Yeah.
Definitely like I hate sprinting, but I would rather jog. But the opposite for me is like a slow walk around my neighborhood after dinner. That's very grounding. Yeah. Where I don't have, the only intention is calmness. Mm-hmm. Right? Where if I'm going to kickbox, like that's getting out my aggression. So maybe saying that we like some of my practices to get out my aggression so that I can move into a little bit of a place of calm and do the calm practices too, because it's inauthentic to think if you're super mad, just go walk slow. Mm-hmm. Right. So for me, some of my practices would be running hard, venting to myself in the woods. Like I will go to the woods. I will tell off the person I'm mad at verbally out loud, getting it out of my body, getting that aggression out of my body. But then once, or kickboxing, I love to kickbox. And like, I will air kickbox, like punch the air. I'll do a turbo jam, turbo fire, a beach body class, whatever, on my beach body on demand app. And then that gets out that aggression. And then once I've released it, kind of like you said with your son, once he's done that jog, then I will like sit and pray. Then I can walk slowly. Then I can, you know, lay and do some stretching or whatever. So I think the importance too is I feel like years ago we told people you just need to calm down, but we didn't tell them, no, you need to get that physically out of your body. Think of it like a physical thing inside your body you need to expel.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think for me too, just on that same topic, I had a therapist that told me to like actually like wipe it away, like kind of give yourself a hug. We're not on video, so it's hard to explain, but like kind of like wiping your arms and like after you've kind of gone through something or had to talk about something, or if it's just like, wow, I'm really overwhelmed, like she made me do that and it felt so silly, but it actually like, it's like a physical activity that I guess it maybe tricks your brain or tells yourself like, that's gone now and you can relax. So I've used that with my kids since learning that. We've also been trying to do a sauna. Like I have an infrared sauna and I'm doing that more, especially now that it's winter. It's nice to be in a warm place, but it's a quiet place. It's a dark place and it's just a good place to like breathe and think. I try not to bring my phone in there. I'll either have music playing or something like that. I have not done any yoga this year, but I know that that helps me. Like that is definitely something I need to implement into my week. And the rom-coms, we've like touched on it a little bit, but there is just something about watching TV that makes you laugh versus like these horrible murder shows and things, which I really like. I'm not gonna lie. I love some true crime, but switching to rom-coms, it has been so fun. Like Dan and I were laughing out loud, which we have not done at the TV in a long, long time. We were laughing out loud at a movie the other day. And
what movie was it?
Nice. It's not a rom-com, but it's called Idiocracy.
Oh, I've never even seen it.
It's a very little known film, very low budget. Luke Wilson is the star, and it's about a government. They like freeze Luke Wilson and Maya Rudolph from SNL. They freeze them. It's supposed to be for a year, but then the government like shuts down the program and they wake up 500 years in the future into an America that is just absolute chaos. Like everybody's dumb. There's trash everywhere.
This
And it
sounds
is
like
like,
us in 20 years.
yeah, it's, you would love it. You would laugh and
Everyone's
cry.
full of pharmaceuticals.
Yeah.
Everyone's so stupid.
Yeah.
Everyone's
Like
body
everything
is
is sponsored
so
by Carl's Jr. and Taco Bell and Mountain Dew. They're like watering the plants with Gatorade because it has electrolytes. Like it's hilarious. We also watched Jerry Maguire. So good.
Oh, I forgot about Jerry Maguire.
Age of Adeline. So good. What else have we watched? Anyway, we've kind of switched from just silly rom-coms to like feel-good movies.
That's probably smart too. I was talking to my sister, telling her she needs to watch like not the raunchy coms because that's what I started with.
Oh yeah.
And then I told her, she was like, I can't stand the acting in some of those 90s movies. And it's funny. It's like when you go watch a movie that was really scary in like 97, you're like, oh, it's just so stupid now because the technology's caught up with filming, right? Like it's so much better now when you watch something. But
Yeah.
the one I would say is Date Night with Steve Carell and
Yes.
Tina Fey is so
So
funny. I'm just
funny.
like, I don't know about you, Jeremy, but I'm gonna go home and look at my vagina in a hand mirror. Like when they're out on a date and they like make everyone's conversations. So yeah, definitely a way to boost your spirits in January. I mean, we've had gray now, I want to say going on like 5 days, and it's nice and warm. Like it's 10 degrees. It's nice island air. It's not cold. But when it's not cold, we have a lot of gray. When it gets cold, we have a lot of sun, right? So,
Yeah.
I've been using my happy light every day at my desk. I turn it on. I sort of crave it now. I enjoy it. And then of course, like we always say, taking our vitamin D and stuff, but I think those things help. Last night, like I said, my weight's been up because I was feeling so angsty. So then yesterday, I'm like, what all did I do yesterday? I had a cold dip. I did some weights. I did an Epsom salts bath at night. I got 5 liters of water in, which a lot of people would tell me is a terrible idea. So like, listen to your body. Don't do that if you don't want it. But I literally did every tangible thing I could do to help my body through the physical experience of stress. And I think we need to look at that as, how are we supporting our systems when we are in a society where all the doctor wants to offer you is medication for everything, right? So I think we need to always be proactive, super proactive. Something that I believe the whole world or everybody needs a reset on or some really good boundaries around, is detoxing from devices. Much like diets or changing your eating patterns in January, a reset is helpful. You know, like the first day, it's hard to be without something, especially if you're super drawn to it. But come day two or day three, you're like, oh, I don't need a glass of wine today. Oh, I don't need my phone in the evening. We kind of made a light rule, I want to say, that after 5:30, like the kids only have access for a couple hours, but where we stay off our phones in the evening, like even I try to put it away, and if I get a text, like I'll get back to them later, it's fine, right? But a lot of times we want to put goals and boundaries in place for our kids, but we don't want them for us. But if you think back to your, like, what a peaceful home was like years ago and how much of your parents' attention you had because they weren't staring at something. And no matter what, when, like, our human nature, when I see you looking at something, reading something, I don't interrupt you. Like, and maybe our kids are going to be better at that because they've seen these devices their whole lives, but it does pull from connection. And even if you are two people, you don't have kids and you're living, you know, you're just a couple living in a house, like, watch for how that pulls from your connection, right? Like it really does break down community in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it does. And I am someone who can multitask. Like I can listen and do something on my phone. But my husband can't. And so if I'm trying to talk to him and he's looking at his phone, like I know he's not listening to me. So I just wait, or I'll be like, honey, can you look at me for a second?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This morning, I was sending you a Marco Polo, which I don't know if you watch, but as I was talking to you, I dropped a ceramic soup bowl on my foot.
Oh my gosh.
Because apparently, I couldn't do two things at once. I couldn't put
Huh.
the clean dishes away while I sent you a video of myself.
Oh my gosh.
And then I was like, that's going to be a bruise. Right. So I think recognizing who's around and like, to me, if you have company over, that phone should be nowhere near you, nowhere near you. Put it by the kitchen, plug it in, put it away. Like, you know, I think for me, addiction looks like they say we get a hit of dopamine when we get likes and stuff. And when all that stuff happens, and I just don't like the world controlling my physiological response to anything. And so, one of my things is just, I'll notice I'm getting highly addicted when I'm looking through apps and nothing's new. And I have an annoyed feeling that there's like, I want to see something and there's like nothing that entertains me. And then I'm like, wow, you've been on this too much. And then I think about my day and I'm like, oh wow. Cause it's really quick. Like, and I want us to be mindful.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. I've been implementing like the limitations. So I'm on an iPhone and there are screen time limits on, you can do screen time limits on certain apps or certain kinds of apps. So like for games, you can limit that, you know, if your kids grab your phone and use your phone, you can limit that to 30 minutes. Or I have my Instagram limited to 30 minutes, which is crazy because I run three accounts. I'm trying to think. I'm a co-owner of an
account.
Well, it was four or five, but I have eliminated because I'm just like, I hate doing this. I want Instagram to be fun and for it to be a place to connect, but I do have to, you know, promote a business or two. And right. So I have it limited to 30 minutes. So like when I did that probably over a year ago, it really cut down on the amount of like just random scrolling that I do. You can also have it shut off for certain hours of the day. And then there's the focus or work setting where if you're sleeping, you can put it on sleeping. If you're working, you can set it to work. And then you can go in and say like, well, if my husband or my kid texts me or someone calls, like you can let those through, but all other notifications get silenced. And I think those are things people are not utilizing and should, because if you're just constant, like if all of your notifications are on and like you get a notification every time someone likes something on Facebook or every single time that you get an email and every text and all of the things, like that is so overwhelming. I hope you all have that mostly shut off and you can check it when it's time to check it. But that has been really, really helpful for me.
I think that is fantastic information. And we have it on our Telus, which is, I don't know if you've heard of Telus. It's like an internet provider up here. I never know if they're like around other places, but anyways, we have it set up with like timeframes and stuff for our kids. But my whole thing is I did not know that about the iPhone. And I absolutely will go do that. I don't have notifications turned on for any social media. I found that like when that came out, I think my first iPhone I got in 2013 or something, because I was like very anti, which I still am. I like loathe these. I think they've ruined our society. I really do. Yeah. And I think there's more bad than there is good. There's more disconnect than there is connection. Like we're all like, oh, we can connect. I'm like, yeah, but if I see you at Safeway, I'm going to walk down the other aisle. Which is like one of my favorite things. I ran into somebody the other day at a hockey game and it was so funny. I was like, oh, hi, you guys. Oh my goodness. But then I realized a second later, I bet they saw me for a long time before I initiated and said hi, which is fine. But I'm like, I feel like we all have those people that are like in our social media world and yet you really wouldn't enjoy to see them in real life. Like, why is that a thing? That is so weird.
That's so weird.
So weird. But where was I going with that? What were we talking about? Oh yeah. I think I would like to have some boundaries. Like I would like my phone other than like texts from people, because you know, my neighbor texts me and is like, can you meet outside or whatever? And my phone calls and my texts aren't super invasive. I don't mind if that rings across the room, just like old school. Right. But I would definitely shut off the rest of that for the evening because it helps me stay committed. So putting these things in place, I think the lie is that it's like the lie about discipline, that discipline isn't freedom, because it is. And boundaries create connection. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I think that's really cool. You also had put up on Instagram, keeping your phone grayscale.
Yeah.
Which is so cool. And is that just, that means that your brain is less addicted to it, yeah. less getting less pleasure from scrolling. And yeah. that's phenomenal. That's
yeah, it was, system. It was, the pastor of our church, Matt Smallbone, I go to Church of the City in Nashville, and he taught us that last January. Like, I had no idea phones could do that, but, I've heard that the like colors in our phone are more vibrant than real life. And that draws us to them. Maybe not a grown up as much as a child, but like, it's super addicted to your brain. Cause it's like, ooh, pretty shiny. And so switching it to grayscale, it's just not very appealing.
Now, once again, obviously a person could Google that, I'm sure. But is that just done in the settings?
Yeah. And it's not very intuitive. It's like, you go to settings and then accessibility. You would think it would be on like, you know, screen or something like that. It's in accessibility. And then, something about screen settings. You're going to need to Google it. I don't have my phone near me. Yeah.
Very super cool easy. Though. And something I definitely would think that 95% of people don't know. I'd never even heard of it. I've never seen it on someone's phone, but yeah. I love that. I yeah. very much love that. And it's just about kind of outsmarting the system. Yeah. If you're going to be like me and you're going to be negative Nelly about it, how about instead of wasting my negative energy, I put some things in place, some protections for myself mm-hmm. in the areas I know that I have weakness. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. Like, if you're a person who struggles with like online spending, don't leave stuff in your cart and don't subscribe to text messages because Nick's, I want to buy some period panties. And so that's where it's like Nick's every day is like, hey, Jodes, you still got some stuff in your cart here. I don't struggle with online spending at all. Like, I'm like, oh yeah. Like I just kind of ignore it. I could probably just hit text stop, but part of me wants to go make that purchase. Yeah. But that's a funny thing, right? Like if know what your limits are, know what your struggles are. Last night I made spaghetti and I wanted to open a bottle of wine because I really like to put wine into my spaghetti. It makes it way better. And then I thought to myself, and like drinking isn't a struggle, I wouldn't say at all, but I just don't want the extra calories of it right now. And so I was like, you know what? Your spaghetti is going to be just fine. Why don't you just not put wine in here? Like, yeah. And I didn't, and I was fine and it was delicious. And I didn't even think about it, but because it's something I always do, it's habitual. I always like when I'm making spaghetti, I open a bottle of wine. I have a glass. I pour about a cup into my spaghetti sauce, which creates a really nice depth of flavor. But it was fine without it. And it's January. It's like, you don't need to do everything you've always done, right? Just because that's yep. kind of what you do. And so knowing what your weaknesses are and then making plans for them, because it's like planning for success. What does my dad say?
If you don't plan, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Fail to plan. You just plan to fail.
Yeah.
Right. Like, so it's like, you need a plan. It's like how I like to make these maximizing cue cards. I did a couple in January, but I haven't done it since, but I enjoy checking things off, not on a physical app, but literally on paper. So I have a little recipe card and I write cold dip and I do a circle beside cold dip. And then I put a check mark in it and it just fills me with joy. Like how people get a dopamine hit from a notification. I'm like, oh, check.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's like learning what helps your brain focus and, yeah. and learning what helps make you more successful and yeah. then doing those things and not beating yourself up that you need a little accountability or you need your phone to shut off or you need a grayscale, right? Like yeah. do what you need, not what you want. Yeah. Stop thinking about your wants and never trust an easy button. Never. Those easy buttons are usually lies.
Yeah.
Swear the easy way out doesn't work. You got to walk through it. You can't go around it. You can't go under it. You can't go over it. You just got to go through it.
Love it. I would sum up today's discussion in that protecting your peace takes work mm-hmm. and you're not just going to find peace zoning out on your beautifully colored phone.
Yeah, I agree. There is always going to be stuff in your life that comes up that yeah. distracts you from healthy eating, from exercise, from taking care of yourself whatever that looks like. Mm-hmm. And I think for you and I in the next few years, it's going to be kids and teenagers. Like, I literally wanted to cry all weekend at the fact that I'm going to have two teenagers. Like, the preteen stuff is just not even that bad. And my heart is so dramatic about it. And I'm sure I'll go through some sort of grieving right now, and then it'll become normal. But stay in today. Like, don't think beyond today in a lot of, in those hard situations, whether you're dealing with an ailing parent or you're dealing with your own diagnosis or you're dealing with teenagers or you're dealing with a rough marriage or whatever. You have to focus and stay present in today. Mm-hmm. And do your best today, but you can't neglect taking care of yourself, because you can't pour from an empty cup. And I am not all about the self-love, self-whatever movement. I think it's selfish, but I do believe, I know full well, that you can't take care of others if you're super unhealthy. And as Gina Livy always says, if not this, then what? Yeah. If you're not going to eat healthy and take care of yourself, what's the alternative?
Yeah.
You know, like, you don't make a plan, you end up at Wendy's. You don't make a plan, you end up at McDonald's. You don't make a plan, you end up sitting on your phone for 3 hours scrolling. Mm-hmm. So I definitely think that there's a lot we can own and a lot we can do. And then figure out what your tangibles are. What are your tangibles for protect, like, in your home? How do you create a peaceful home? And then what grounds you? How do you get out anger when you have it? How do you expel that from your body? And how do you protect your peace? Because it's probably one of the absolute most important things.
Yeah.
I feel like some people shut off when I said bake cookies.
they're like already in their kitchen munching on cookies.
No, I mean more like, I was thinking of, like, I never saw the Stepford Wives, but I was thinking about back in the day how they had, like, in home ec classes, it was like, how to prepare your home for your husband when he arrives home, have his drink ready. Yeah. Don't bother him with chit chat about your day. Like, I actually feel like I watched something super funny, and it was like, have warm food cooking in the oven to create an environment. So, but it is a funny thing that you don't have to do it every day, but be intentional about loving the people in your home and creating an environment. Like, what kind of home do I want to come home to? You know, like, even that kind of golden rule, treat others how you want to be treated or whatever. Right. But there are some tangibles there, even if you don't like them. And if you're going to eat all the cookies, maybe you just put out veggies and dip.
Yeah. There you go.
There you go. Well, thanks for tuning in to episode 3 of our wellness episodes this month. We love having you. Please like, subscribe, rate, review, share this with a friend. And thanks for being here, guys. We'll talk to you next week.